After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones themselves will cry out." And that's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Well, good morning. We are looking this morning at walking with Jesus, the way of the cross. And of course, we know that today is Palm Sunday, so we can have 4 points, P-A-L-M. First of those, P for praise. Now, I'm hoping you've all brought your mobile phones along to church with you, because what I quite like you to do is get them out and see if you can get onto this QR code and onto an activity that I'm hoping is going to work. Otherwise, we are going to go very old school. All right, are we on there? Few people. If you haven't brought your mobile phone to church with you, please always remember to bring it. It's always very useful to have, just in case the preacher goes on a bit, or you want to check what the time is, or have a look at your emails or whatever. Are we all on there? So it should come up with a questionnaire for you. And I'm hopefully going to, Martin, can we flip over now to Slido and let's have a look at the question? Yeah, here we go. What phrase best describes praise? 100% are saying you are amazing. You are okay. You smell a fish. 6% going up there. 4%. 4%, you are okay-ish. Meh, I've no idea who you are. Going down to 3%. So I think we have a winner there. You are amazing. All right, let's go back to the PowerPoint, please, Martin. God is amazing. God is amazing. And praise is about saying that. Praise is about saying, "God, you are amazing." It's about lifting God up, saying, "God, you are worthy." It's a bit like supporting a sport team. Hands up if you are a sport fan here. Yeah, a few of you. Keep your hands up if you support a particular team. Keep your hands up if you're willing to share those. I'll just say for now that there will be prayer ministry either side if you need a bit of... shout out who you support. Bath Rugby. Bath Rugby, yep. What's that? Manchester City. Any Manchester United fans? No, no, definite shakes of the head there, yep. Tottenham Hotspur. Anyone else? Stoke City. Who said Stoke City? It's good to know there's one, isn't there? Well, look, I was going to say, supporting your team when they're winning is easy, but maybe not for Stoke City. Maybe you haven't had that experience. But saying your team is amazing is easy if you're winning. And here, the story of Palm Sunday, we're told the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. They thought they were winning. Jesus, their captain, riding into Jerusalem. The World Cup is in sight. And yet we know Good Friday is ahead. We know that there will come a day where Jesus is on the cross, where it looked like death was the winner. But this was about a different cup, not a World Cup, but a cup of suffering for the world. As followers of Jesus, we're instructed to say that God is worthy of our praise all the time. And there's a saying, isn't there? God is good all the time. And the response, all the time, God is good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Praising God when it's easy, but also praising God when it's hard. On Palm Sunday, it was easy to wave those palm trees, I was going to say, but not the trees, but the palm leaves. But how about when it's hard? I worked in Uganda for a short time over 25 years ago, and I used to visit Luzira prison. And the men in there, because it was a prison for men, would often be praising God. The place was cramped, it was hot, it was dark. Most of the men I visited were on death row. They knew that they might be taken out of their cells and executed at any time. And yet they would be praising God all the time, even in the hard times. Chief among the people praising God was this man, Chris Rakasisi. He had been Milton Obote's right-hand man, and he had repented and had started an extraordinary journey of redemption. And he'd tell other prisoners, the guards, anyone about how amazing God is. Walking with Jesus, the way of the cross, is about knowing who we're walking with. We walk with Jesus. We praise God because of who he is, not because of our circumstances. Our circumstances change inevitably, don't they? They ebb and they flow. But the God we praise is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His plans and purposes are always good. So P for praise. A for alive. Right, let's go back to our quiz, please. Who is most alive? Everyone who has lived and died? Elvis? Kids, have you never heard of Elvis? Ask your great grandparents or someone. Jesus and all who have ever followed him. Anyone who is alive today, 70% Jesus and all who have ever followed him. 6% for Elvis. I honestly thought it might be more than that, but there we go. Everyone who has ever lived and died, Elvis going up to 13%. I thought we might stop it there. Let's go back to the PowerPoint. When we walk with Jesus. When we walk with Jesus, we walk with the one who is most alive, and we become most alive. The way of the cross is hard work. It's easy to get deflated. It can be very sacrificial and very hard at times, very costly. Sometimes it even looks like defeat. But the way of the cross always ends in victory. You might remember a few months ago, I shared a testimony with you of a friend of mine called Fiona. And she was asked about this time last year, last Easter, what does resurrection mean for you? And she said, everything. Resurrection means everything for me. She went to be with her Heavenly Father on Tuesday morning this week. She didn't lose her battle against cancer. She didn't succumb to death. Jesus won the victory for her, for us, over death itself. As someone who loved Jesus, she is most alive now. Fiona was most fully alive walking with Jesus on earth. And Fiona is now most fully alive as she continues walking with Jesus in heaven. In the story from the Bible passage we had read to us earlier, the Pharisees rebuked Jesus, and Jesus replied, "Even the stones themselves will cry out. The stones themselves will come alive." Death is no problem for Jesus. Inanimate objects are no problem for Jesus. The great 18th century revivalist and preacher and evangelist George Whitefield once famously said, "We are immortal until our work on earth is done." Walking with Jesus, who conquered death itself on earth and when we get into heaven, is what makes us fully alive. So P for praise, A for alive, L for love. And we're going to go back for our final quiz. Love is truly found in the person of Jesus, Hugh Grant. Again, kids, have you never heard of Hugh Grant? Possibly ask your grandparents. Non-existent, whatever you want it to be. How are the votes going? Hugh Grant up at 18%. Well, there we go. Whatever you want it to be, 11%. Hugh Grant on 16%. Truly found in the person of Jesus. I think we'll stop it there while that's got the majority. Let's go back to the PowerPoint. As we walk with Jesus, we discover that the way of the cross is the ultimate story of love. One of my favorite films is Love Actually. Hands up if it's one of your favorite films as well. Lots of hands going up. It's a classic, isn't it? Different expressions and stories of love. And there's that famous quote in there, isn't there? "If you look for it, I've got a sneaky feeling you'll find that love actually is all around." And yes, there's some truth in that. But the greatest expression of love throughout the whole history, the whole of history, is found in Jesus, actually. The story of walking with Jesus, the story of the way of the cross, is a love story. It's God's love for us that recognizes the significance of sin and death, and says, "It's okay, Jesus will pay the price." It's that song that Kat and the team were singing at communion. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. It's a love story that has justice and mercy at its heart. Justice, there will need to be a punishment. And mercy, God says, "I will pay the price." I love the story of a judge who finds that a man is guilty. Justice demands that he sentences the man to a fine. And yet he knows that the man cannot pay the fine. So he sentences him, gets down from the bench, goes into the dock, and pays the fine. He, the judge, dispenses justice and pays the price. This is a story of what God does for us, isn't it? It's a story with love at the center of it. But the love story doesn't end there. It's an invitation to come and walk with Jesus, to have a relationship with him. I love the story of the bishop who went to a primary school. And he took with him a really famous Ethiopian icon. It's a really ancient icon. and it has two people walking along. One of them has his arm over the other. I think it's the road to Emmaus. And that person with his arm over his friend's shoulder is Jesus. And the bishop said to the children, "What do you think Jesus is saying to his friend?" And there was silence. And then one of the children shouted out, "I'm so glad you're here." And the bishop, in very bishop fashion, said, "Well, thank you very much. I'm so glad I'm here as well." And the child said, "No, Jesus is saying to his friend, 'I'm so glad you're here.'" This is the invitation of Jesus, who is love, an invitation to come and walk with him as he puts his arm over your shoulder and says, I am so glad you're here. There's something very companionable about walking along with someone, isn't there? Sarah and I yesterday went for a walk up in Groveley Wood. We decided at the beginning of the year that what would really bless us as a family would be to get a puppy. We've got an 8-year-old Springer Spaniel, and we thought, well, we'll get another Springer Spaniel. It's easy, isn't it? It's not. We are still repenting of that decision we made. But the girls decided, being teenagers, that they would stay at home and stay in bed. So Sarah and I walked, and it was so full of companionship. We were able to talk to each other. We were able just to be in each other's company. Walking with Jesus is an invitation from love itself to a relationship with love himself. So P, praise, A, alive, L, love, M, me. How are you going to respond? Walking with Jesus is about him, and it's about us. It's about a relationship between him and us. We need to respond. We need to be active. There's an activeness to walking, isn't there? We have choices to make as we follow Jesus. How am I going to live my life? There's a story of a soldier who was talking about his Christian faith, and he set down his army boots and he said, "Walking with Jesus is about my boots. This boot is called trust, and this boot is called obey." Walking with Jesus is putting one foot in front of the other, trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. And we see that in the story, don't we? Go untie a colt and bring it here. Trust and obey. I'm going to share a video about people who have made that decision for themselves to trust and obey, to have a relationship with Jesus, who have responded to that invitation and have seen the need for a saviour. As they shout, "Hosanna." Thanks, Martin. Let's watch this. There's no Slido for this question. There's no multiple choice for this question. This is about you and God. How are you going to respond this Palm Sunday 2025? Are you going to wave your palm and say, "Saviour, I need a saviour"? Well, you might want to do this when you get home. Do what I've done and write "praise" on one of the arms of your palm cross, "alive" at the top here, "love" on the other arm, and "me" at the bottom, this long bit here. And as you do that, perhaps you'll be thinking, how can I use this Easter to reflect on all that Jesus has done for me and also how I'm going to respond. It's a great time, isn't it, Easter, to press that reset button, to have a valuation of what's going on in your life, how your relationship with God is going. Well, why don't you grab hold of your palm crosses, and why don't we stand as we pray together? Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning. We give you all the glory. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are our Saviour, and we praise you. We worship you. P.A. Lord Jesus, we thank you that walking with you means that we are most alive. We thank you that with you, all things are possible. We thank you that with you, things don't just end on the cross, but you have victory over death itself, that with you we become most alive. L, we thank you that you are the epitome of love. We thank you that you demonstrate love so incredibly on the cross, but also the way that you pay the price for our sin. And M, we thank you that you invite us to walk with you. And Lord God, would you come by your Holy Spirit and meet with each one of us right now? And just put your finger on the areas of our lives that you want to transform and renew and restore. For your glory and for your name's sake. Amen.
Let's sing, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence."
I stand amazed.